This is Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
It's 16 minutes after 9 and a very good morning to the two Socialist Alliance candidates running for Brown Bill Ward in the upcoming October council elections. Sue Bull and Sarah Hathaway, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you both here. You're both sort of running on the same platform, are you?
Yes, we are.
And you've both sort of run for things previously. Sue, we had you in here for the 2016 federal election, Corio, and also the 2015 Kildare by-election. And Sarah, we had you in the 2014 Geelong district election for the state government. So you both are pretty sort of experienced campaigners, aren't you?
Well, you could say that.
Yes.
Are you hopeful with both of you running that sort of at least one of you will get up, that you'll sort of have votes between the two of you? Is that why you're both running together?
Well, I think you've got to remember that these in this whole new setup, it's a multi-member ward. And so the reality is there'll be three positions in Brown Bill. So what we'd like to do is put forward a ticket where we say vote Sue Bull 1 and Sarah Hathaway 2. But it's a whole new scene, so we'll just have to see how that goes.
Because obviously you don't need to get 51% of the votes to be successful. Now it's something closer to, I think, 26% of the votes and you can get a position. So it's a bit different, isn't it?
It is.
Do you think it's an improvement on the previous system?
Well, I do. I mean, I think a lot of Victorian councils, anyway, are moving towards multi-member wards. Certainly most of the ones in Melbourne are doing that. And I think proportional representation voting and all that sort of thing, I think, or preferential, actually means that there's a greater chance for smaller groups to become elected.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But also, the actual size of the ward is bigger now. We've spoken about this a lot, that previously people were representing their small patch, whereas Brown Bill is now quite substantial, you know, going down to Newcombe and then also up to the northern suburbs as well.
Yeah, well, that's right. And see, when Sarah and I have run for state and federal positions in the past, it's very interesting, but we've managed to get very good results in the more working class areas, which as socialists you'd expect that really. And sure enough, now Brown Bill actually covers those very areas where we've done very well in the past.
What are some of the areas that you think you'll have the most success in?
Well, I think we're pretty certain that a lot of our positions will go down very well with people in North Geelong, Bell Park, West Geelong, and then over in the east where Newcombe, Whittington, those sorts of areas. They have, traditionally we've done well in those areas and I think we will again.
Do you both live within the ward?
Yeah, so I'm based in the 3219 area. I mean, just on Sue's comments then, in the mayoral election when Sue ran and got that huge just first preference votes, over 10,000 votes, I believe it was Austin Ward, that turned out the most for Sue, and that is that eastern 3219 area. So,
yeah, it's interesting. Was it sort of the main driver behind your decision to run in Brown Bill, that you both live within Brown Bill, or is it sort of a strategic, because some candidates are making strategic decisions and running where they think they'll have the most success?
Well, yes, we both live in the ward. And yes, of course. Look, I think if you're going to run in the local area, then you represent the community that you come from. And that's critical, I think, in local council elections.
So just run us through your Socialist Alliance policy manifesto. I presume that you're both running under the same vision and the same policies?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So
give us the broad brush overview.
Okay, well, I'll just say a couple of things and then I'll let Sarah take over. I mean, the critical thing is that where we distinguish ourselves from other groups is that we want to make certain that we actually represent local interests. And we see local people and as workers, as residents, as ratepayers, as the critical part of our electorate. So we want to make certain that if we get elected, we're actually putting forward a voice for services. And we're putting forward the need to defend those services over big business interests. So, and that's, we've always said that. And I think that's actually what distinguishes us from other groups. So, for instance, we're against outsourcing and privatisation. And at the local level, that's wrought havoc with our services. And you can really see this, like the headlines today. I was listening to some of the stuff that with Malcolm Turnbull where they're talking about the gas prices. Now, I don't know, this is a national issue, of course, but our gas prices have more than doubled in the last year alone. And it's directly due to the market and the way that gas is owned privately these days. Whereas when services are owned locally by state governments, by local councils, etc., etc., the reality is they don't have to go out there and compete, and you don't lose big portions of the service to profit. So that's going to be a big part of what we want to put forward. And alongside of that, we want to say there are subsidies out there for people who are doing it tough in terms of paying their rates. Those subsidies should be increased for everybody who's, you know, a low-income earner. And it can be offset by the amount of money that council can get from developers and all of those sorts of things. So that's where we want to put ourselves.
And Sarah?
Yeah, I guess just to add to that, looking at some of the larger issues in terms of public housing, sustainability, climate change, we are putting these on our platform. We want to make these issues local business because we definitely think that we can contribute at a local council level. But, it, you know, if I open up the can of worms of Marriage Equality Australia Day, we're starting to see more and more of these discussions are happening at a local council level. And there is this debate within the community, is this local council business? Should councillors be commenting? And I think we're saying absolutely yes. Local councils need to advocate for everybody in their community and have a voice on these issues.
All right, so we'll get on to those in a second. I'll go back to sort of what you were saying at the start there, Sue, with the services. Do you think it's a matter of defending the existing services, or are you looking at services and saying, if we got in, we'd like to advocate to increase the availability of that or to make it better? Are there particular services that you guys have in mind there?
Well, yes, so we're not just defensive.
Yeah.
I think we have to say that all of the aged care services, for instance, we want them back. We want them back in public hands. We've got a growing elderly community, certainly in the Brownville area and some of the areas outside. They have to have the services that they need, and that community is getting poorer. So, yeah, we would look at extending. We do want to see the sorts of things where maybe the council could actually start to look at youth unemployment and start to address some of the issues locally. And that would mean advocating at state and federal level. Like one of the councils in South Australia, for instance, 2 weeks ago, they agreed to campaign to increase the dole. Now, that's not a local council issue, but they see themselves as part of that campaign. And so we would like to see a campaigning council. It doesn't mean, therefore, that we would win these things in the next term, but it would mean that Geelong goes on the front foot for trying to help in terms of equality and access to services.
And has rate capping made it difficult to increase the amount of services that we have in the community? Because obviously that's being capped to CPI, so presumably you've got to maybe cut other services or apply for some sort of exemption to the rate capping.
Yeah, look, I think it's been a big problem. I think once you keep rate capping at that same level for long periods, then their services are almost inevitably going to be cut. As to what extent you should increase the cap or whatever, I know that's open for community debate, but we'd certainly be on the side that says, let's open it up and have a discussion about it.
And you have spoken, I think, Sue, when you ran for Kildare previously about changing the way that rates are calculated, because you've said that sometimes people with relatively low disposable incomes can live in properties that are actually worth a lot of money, and therefore they get taxed quite a fair bit in rates.
Yeah, it's a really tricky one. And like, I've had lots of discussions since then, and I don't think there's an easy formula. So that's why but I'd still love to have the discussion, but that's why we're going to campaign at the very least around increasing the subsidy and opening it up to all low-income earners. So that would be a start for us.
On youth unemployment, as you mentioned there, what do you think council can do there? Or is it more of a case of advocating to state and federal governments, or are there things that the council can directly do?
Do you want to have a go?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, if we're running on this platform of jobs and services, I mean, the natural flow-on effect if we're saying put services in public hands, fund them properly, that will create jobs. You know, that in turn we can look at internships. I know in the state public sector, they're really pushing internships to get young people into the public sector. So, you know, if the state government can do that, absolutely we can do that at local level and start building up these skills. Because, you know, it's no secret that we do have an ageing workforce. My mum's a nurse, so we've got a whole section of very qualified, very experienced workers that will be starting to retire. So we need to start bringing younger people into these skill areas.
Now, on the issues that you raised of same-sex marriage and also Australia Day, what are your thoughts there in terms of how you might advocate? Would they be sort of the two main things that you would be talking to the federal government about, or are there other issues as well that you would like to use the council platform to achieve some sort of action on?
Well, I might just start off on Australia Day, and Sarah will say a lot more about same-sex because sure. She's been very much involved in the equal marriage campaign.
Yes.
I think with the Australia Day issues, I would really love to see us have a debate and a discussion, but I think it's very much up to the Aboriginal community in this society. It's the Aboriginal community as a whole that is saying that they feel affronted by the day. It's a day of misery for them because they see it as invasion and the extermination campaigns and all the horrible things that happened. And I think that Geelong Council should go on the front foot and talk to the Aboriginal community in Geelong and see what they have to say. I don't think it's dependent upon the other however many percentage of people that we are. I do think that as Australians we should celebrate diversity and the good things that have happened, but not on that day. That's my personal opinion.
So I note that, and we'll get onto the same-sex marriage in a second, but I note that Darabin and Yarra, I think, did do a consultation with the Aboriginal communities. Is that the sort of group that you would like to see set up in Geelong?
Yes, we would.
And Sarah, on same-sex marriage?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm sure many in the community followed what happened in Surf Coast Council, particularly because that's closer to us. And really, I mean, that was about a rainbow flag and it seemed relatively harmless. I've heard from friends in the Surf Coast what it meant to them when that flag got up. It's very tokenistic, but just that visibility of that flag made a huge difference to the rainbow community in that area. And when that flag came down, when we heard, comments from some of the councillors being very derogatory, that destroyed mentally people in that community who were trying to rebuild themselves. And obviously now we've got this national debate where everyone wants to have their say. So I think it's really important for people that, you know, claim to be representing the community. We need to be representing particularly the most marginalised people in that community, whether that's LGBT, whether it's the Aboriginal community. I'm sure there's other issues that we could think of. But those are the two, I guess, that are out there right now.
So yeah. Yes to a same-sex rainbow flag at City Hall?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think the sort of main argument from the councillors down the Surf Coast, they weren't necessarily, most of them, against same-sex marriage itself. It was more that this isn't the business of council, and You've just explained that you don't support that point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. There's other stuff that's come out publicly since, which I personally find quite disturbing. Letters going to community houses, letters going to schools, threatening those services, saying don't have an opinion or you're putting your funding at risk, which I just think, you know, it's pretty underhanded. So
just talking about a couple of other issues, the MAL is getting a lot of attention in terms of what we can do with that space. Do you have any thoughts on that in terms of how we might solve some of the issues there?
Yeah, well, look, I spoke about this in the last election and I still think these issues are pretty important. I just don't think that there's enough open area, pedestrian, cycle-friendly spaces in the middle of Geelong. I like some of the ideas that are happening down on Mallop Street.
So that's the green spine?
Yeah. I like the green spine, but I think we can extend it. And I think that there's a lot of support for that. I still find the fact that you can drive down Ryrie Street with B-doubles on either side before and after you in the middle of a busy shopping area, I still think that's a big problem. Now, I know that opens up a can of worms, but they're the sort of issues that I think council should be engaging in.
So redirect those trucks to, say, MacKillop Street, you're thinking?
Well, maybe. I mean, you know, I don't want to be prescriptive about these things. I don't want to be like the opposition leader when he gets back from Greece and tells us that we're going to turn into Thessaloniki. I mean, you can't be really prescriptive about these things, but you can put forward general parameters that say, you know, pro-pedestrian, pro-cycle, pro-safety,
Guide your decision-making.
That's it.
Yeah. So you've got that issue. Sarah, did you just want to chime in on that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because this really comes back to it's the young people that cop it. I do spend a lot of time in that mall, and let me just say, it's not just people under 30 that hang out in that mall, so I think we need to cut out this generational blame game right now. But the platform of jobs and services that we're running on, creating services, creating internships, finding ways that local council can contribute to what is traditionally seen as state and federal issues, and creating pathways for these young people that feel they have nothing to do except hang out in the mall, I think that's really important. So that's certainly going to guide me going forward.
Some candidates have come out in favour of CCTV. I remember at the Geelong election, Sarah, you were very much against CCTV. Is that still your point of view?
Absolutely. Look, in terms of violence, gender violence, family violence, we know all the statistics show that you are most at threat in your family home and from people that you know. Quite often the beat up around this is the stranger on the street. And look, we have seen some high profile cases of that with Jill Ma. And there have been some really nasty incidences, St. Albans Park, that's my area. Well, I'm worried about if we beat this up as it's stranger danger on the street and it's surveillance and we need to put CCTV cameras everywhere, we're not actually addressing the fundamental issues of that violence, which is in the home.
Sue, did you want to add anything on that?
No, I totally agree. And I think it's a furphy. It's an absolute furphy. If the whole debate centres around CCTV, then I totally agree with the stuff that Sarah's saying. We don't actually look at the real issues. And I don't think the CCTV stops crime.
Yeah. So, what did you think of the sacking of the last council and former councillors running again?
Okay. Personally, I think it's a real worry when other levels of government step in and sack locally elected people. I think that's very worrying. I think there has to be some sort of fallback if you've got, you know, serious levels of corruption and bullying. And there were those allegations, although we never really got to see what they were actually about. We never, ever got to see the details.
So would you like more transparency and to have the names in that report that people have been talking about?
If it's serious enough to sack the council, then surely the people who voted in that council need to know what's going on. And we never found that out. So I had my reservations. I wasn't a person out there applauding the fact that another council was sacked. This is no secret. Certainly, I was not in support of the mayor. Yep. And I actually think the mayor played a very poor role. But I think it was actually up to the people of Geelong to vote him in or out. I do support these new proposals where we don't have a directly elected mayor. I think that that's going to be a fairer system. So it's a little bit of sitting on the fence, but I don't mean it that way. I think one of the problems was that we actually lost a chance to have a say over how our future was going to happen at that particular instant.
So you don't mind former councillors running again on that basis unless stronger allegations can be put by the state government?
Yeah, I think it's fine. And let the people decide. You know, and hopefully it'll be a fair and open campaign. So the only thing I would say, and we've always said this, is that people should make it very clear as to what their political affiliations are. I can't stand this thing where people pretend that they're independent when meanwhile, in some cases, they're actually being funded by the big end of town. I know these things have to come out in the end, but I just think people should be upfront and let the residents decide.
And that was sort of my next question, because there's been some talk of we don't want party politics in local council. You guys are obviously happy to pin your colours to the mast as being part of the Socialist Alliance Council. So you're saying that it's better to have parties in local council if it means that everyone's more transparent about their political views and what's guiding their decisions.
You know what we represent. And we're not afraid to say what we represent, and we'll stand by that.
All right. Yeah. Sarah?
Sorry, I mean, just to add to that, I thought Daryl McClure's comments in the Advertiser were pretty outrageous. I mean, on one hand, he says, we want councillors with integrity, honesty, and a history of community service, and then says Socialist Alliance need not apply.
I think he did mention Socialist and Greens, didn't he?
Yeah, so, you know, agree or disagree with our policies, at least we're honest, and I think that gets us some brownie points for being honest about who we are and what we represent.
All right. Well, before we let you go, what we've been doing is letting each candidate just give us a quick elevator pitch on why they should be elected, and we'll let you guys do the same. So, Sue, do you want to start? And then, Sarah, you go after Sue. So, Sue, take it away.
Oh, well, to the residents of Geelong, and Brownville in particular, I hope you'd like to vote for us, vote for me. What I do represent is a fresh face, despite the fact that I've run in many elections. Hopefully you know exactly where I'm coming from. I'm pro-people, I'm pro-resident, and I'm pro-open democratic council and everything that flows from that. And so you'll see us putting forward all of the campaigns and the policies that represent the interests of the majority of ordinary people in Geelong.
And Sarah?
So same again, particularly 3219 area. I do hope you get behind our campaign. Jobs and services, I think essentially everything will flow on from that. And I'm really excited about this 30-year plan of a clever and creative future. I think it's important going forward that we have more residents' meetings and continue to include residents in the say of the future of this city.
And Sue, you're an apology for our Brownville Forum on October 10, but Sarah, you'll be coming along, so
Definitely. We're
looking forward to seeing you there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to the both of you. I really appreciate it. A great conversation, and we'll put it up on our website, mitchellsfrontpage.com.
Thanks, Mitchell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue Bull and Sarah Hathaway. They're running for the Socialist Alliance in the upcoming elections in Brownville Ward.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.